Hello, Ron Wyden here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Ron? Neil Penland.
Great. Why don't we do this? I will spare you all the filibuster here and just make a couple of comments in terms of what we're concerned about, and then we'll throw it open to some questions. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sure.
The legislation that I'm introducing is designed to make sure that our country doesn't face an information superhighway that's strewn with discriminatory hurdles. And it's my view, unless you treat equal content with equal treatment, it seems to me the genius of the internet will be undermined. Now, just a month ago, there were rumblings from large telecommunications companies about their plans to discriminate and how they delivered information across the net. Executives saying people are getting a free lunch. Today, there is an important article in the Wall Street Journal that basically describes a network that is under a pay-to-play kind of arrangement. So what we would see if this was allowed to happen is instead of a net that provides equal access to every person to the same content at the same price, they'll have a variety of toll gates and sweetheart arrangements where the network operators are playing favorites. It's my view that this is bad news for millions of small businesses, bad news for millions of consumers, and pretty much bad news for about everybody except the giant network operators. So I see the legislation I'm introducing as designed to make sure that we're in the prevent discrimination business and that consumers and innovators and small businesses can all enjoy the same access, the same content for the same price. Now, a couple of issues that have come up in discussions that I think you all will want to know about. I mean, my legislation is still going to allow consumers to purchase higher speeds for additional money, just like overnight delivery at the post office. But equal content would get equal treatment. Everybody would be in a position to have the information about the potential, you know, opportunities. So the playing field remains level. And it just seems to me that you don't have the same interest in investing in a broadband network if it's not very broad in terms of the content that's on it. So I want to keep everybody at the starting line on the internet field. Now, with respect to how this will affect investment, and particularly the argument of some companies, some venture capitalists with respect to investing and ideas, it seems to me what's really bad for the investment climate is discrimination that is going to stifle interest in innovation, because in effect network operators get to make choices about the marketplace rather than what we know really encourages business investment, which is the consumer. My view is that the consumer ought to be out there picking in the marketplace winners and losers rather than setting these network operators up as the people to make the choices. So why don't I use that as kind of an opening salvo? Softball questions will be especially welcome from folks, and the legislation goes in today.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question here.
The first question was about co-sponsors. Let me just talk a bit about where I think the Senate is. The situation in the Senate is very fluid with respect to telecommunications policy this session. And obviously, this is going to be a short year because there's an election. So there will be a couple of decisions, I think, made in the next few weeks. There may be a large telecommunications package that moves forward. If that's the case, I will try to make sure that what I'm advocating and the concept of network neutrality, net neutrality, be part of that legislation. It's also possible that the whole debate will come down to several individual bills on different issues, and I think if that's the case, I think people will be very interested in the net neutrality issue, because this is the issue that there has been tremendous interest in on the part of consumers. I had a conversation this morning with Congressman Boucher, who's done some very good work on this issue. We've talked to Republicans in the Senate, and suffice it to say, I think right now, as people learn more about this issue and what's at stake, and read, for example, today's Wall Street Journal about a pay-to-play internet, I think we'll pick up a lot of support. We've got a big coalition that has already come out for us. The Consumer Federation of America, Consumers Union, Educase, Free Press, Internet 2, the Media Access Project, Public Knowledge, Pulver.com, and Skype have all come out for it already.
Would you be introducing this same bill if the internet access market was more competitive? The high-speed internet access market was more competitive?
I think it's hard to speculate about something like that. I think the answer is anything that moves away from the genius of the internet, which is equal content, equal treatment, open access, getting online and seeing your browser go to where you want to go, to the various applications conveniently. Anything that undermines that, I'm going to do my best to root out, and certainly the more competition you have, the more choices you have for consumers, and that's all to the good. But I can't speculate about anything other than what I'm dealing with today.
Senator Drew Clark with Tech Daily, could you just address the question about since you grant that you want consumers to be able to purchase greater, faster tiers, why would it be so unheard of or unthinkable for a business to strike a deal to sort of pay some of that portion, as it were, to subsidize the consumer the way an advertiser in a newspaper subsidizes the cost the consumer pays on the circulation price? Why are you so opposed to that concept? Because I understand your bill would basically ban those types of arrangements.
Well, first of all, I already made mention of the fact that if consumers say want to purchase higher speeds for more money, I'm going to allow it, because that would be based on disclosure, that would be based on everybody having a chance to secure those same kinds of services. What I'm troubled by is the prospects of discrimination, is that you will have these network operators in effect giving their favorites, usually the financially well off, the goodies, the fruits of the technological revolution, and there won't be much left for anybody else, and what will be left for anybody else will not be at the same price and will not in many instances allow them to be competitive. What I think the network operators really want to do here is narrow the choices on broadband so that people would have to pay more tomorrow for exactly what they're getting today. And that's why I'm moving forward with this legislation.
Senator,
people
Jeremy
who aren't quite so savvy, can you explain what we mean by network provider? For example, if I want to buy a washing machine, I go into Google, I put washing machine and Upspring, Sears, and other sponsored links, but then everything from washing machine parts or other things will come down on a list. What is it that you're trying to stop? What would happen if your bill didn't go through?
Well, think about what Verizon just said here recently. Look at today's Wall Street Journal. They think for example, people who are running search engines and consumers are getting, you know, a free lunch. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, that those, you know, those people pay. They pay to use the, you know, bandwidth, and right now they're able to get into all these applications, and what you have are these large you know, networks trying to make people pay twice for the same service, and that's what I'm going to try and stop.
Senator,
yeah, there's Senator Russell Charlotte does ETnet actually, and based in Portland. The there's actual discrimination, though, could be discrimination based on you know, enhanced user fees for high bandwidth services, and then there's also, I guess, what might be called a stealth non-net neutrality of problems under the hood that they're just technical obstacles that some of these telecommunication services can present to broadband users, like, for example, blocking voice and so forth. Does the bill contain provisions for the more hidden type of violations? As
well, we think we get at a lot of those hidden kind of obstacles under one of the key, you know, provisions that prohibits any blocking, degrading, altering, modifying, or changing traffic, you know, on the net. That would be something that the network operators would be barred from doing under the provision that requires that, you know, all content on the net be treated equally. But I think it's a very valid question, because there are certainly scores of ways in which network, you know, operators could find potential ways to make life difficult for their least favorite, you know, consumers. I mean, just the question of latency, you know, for example, as I testified at the Senate Commerce hearing. I mean, if, for example, the consumer doesn't know that when they make a call to, you know, one business, they're going to wait, you know, 35 minutes, and they'll make a call to another business that does offers a similar kind of product, and they're only going to wait 10 minutes. I mean, there are a host of examples of the kind of stealth obstacles that our friend from Oregon, it seems like the Oregon folks always have the good ideas, so I'm glad they're on the phone. And I think you're spot on with respect to how those stealth kind of barriers could be a problem. We'll be trying in the course of hearings on the legislation to excavate and uncover as many of those as we can, but I think that one of the key provisions in our legislation, simply by making sure you can't block or degrade traffic, will be helpful. Let me mention one other thing that I didn't touch on in my opening statement. This is the heart and soul of this legislation is really the transparency, you know, provisions. My sense is you get out the terms of these kinds of, you know, agreements, and that in and of itself will constitute a significant enforcement effort, because when you get out online the fact that so-and-so is getting a good deal and so-and-so isn't, I think that will be very powerful. So this bill, like all pieces of telecommunications legislation, does involve a variety of you know, issues where you will have provisions with respect to the complaint process and the rights of aggrieved parties and the like. But I don't want people to lose sight of the fact that transparency to a great extent equals strong enforcement. When people have this kind of information, that's going to give consumers a very strong role, it seems to me, with respect to enforcement. And I tend, as the debate goes forward in the Senate and discussions, to really emphasize this issue, because I think in the discussions of net neutrality, those of us that have been concerned about toll gates and balkanizing the net, people say, well, we're for regulation. We're for a lot of transparency.
Are you concerned at all about?
I hear somebody talking in the background. Are they talking to you all or me or what?
I don't know.
Could we maybe have everybody mute their phones unless you're going to ask a question? That way we can.
I have a question. It seems to me that there are a lot of there's not a lot of agreement on what net neutrality even means, and that is actually part of the problem in terms of enacting something into law. Have you run into that, and what does it mean to you?
Well, to me, I like the explanation that's been out a lot of places that somebody logs on, their browser simply moves around on the net, and you can go where you want without any obstacles, and everybody's treated equally. And essentially what I think Verizon has raised is the prospect that would change. I've given you the example of how they think a search engine gets a free ride. And I think this article in today's Wall Street Journal, there's a section, it's literally called Play to Pay, and describes all of the ways in which the open, equal treatment for all internet would be changed.
Senator, can you tell us what whether Chairman Stevens has your discussions with him about whether he ascribes to your views on this bill?
I was very pleased with Chairman Stevens' statements after the hearing, I believe, where he talked about the importance of net neutrality. I think, like a lot of us, he is wrestling with some of the specifics and some of the definitions, but I've worked very closely with him in the past. I was very appreciative of the fact that I was allowed to open the hearings on net neutrality. A little bit of history is he was very helpful in the Internet Tax Freedom legislation, which I authored with Congressman Chris Cox, now the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission, and Senator Stevens did as much as anybody to make that legislation possible, because he allowed us to deal with some of the Universal Service Fund and some of the financial issues that could have really derailed that effort. So he and I have had a very good working relationship on these and other matters, and I was really pleased with the comments he gave that, if anything, emphasized the importance of net neutrality as telecommunications reform goes forward.
Senator, this is Mark Sullivan from Light Reading. I just wanted to ask or clarify, is your bill, does it contain language that might discourage broadband providers from charging different tiers of service from, like, somebody that just uses the internet browsing versus somebody that is downloading high bandwidth video all day? Is that part of what you believe the problem is?
What I believe the problem is that communications companies like Verizon, descriptions of what is all over, you know, the major financial, you know, papers today, would change the nature of the internet. The internet today, to me, stands for equality, it stands for freedom, it says to all concerned, equal content gets equal kind of treatment. Now, right now, people will pay, you know, higher speeds, you know, for more money. That's part of the internet today. My legislation doesn't change that. But what we do say is that you cannot make equal treatment, make equal content subject to discriminatory treatment. And I'm going to do my best to stand up for what I think the internet's all about.
And that would come in the form of what? How would that discrimination take place exactly?
I just gave you some examples. What Verizon talked about that you all covered struck me as changing the net. What you see in the Wall Street Journal, Play to Pay, is changing it. And today, regardless of what you pay, you get equal access to all content. And that seems to be a principle that the big network operators don't want to subscribe to any longer.
Is it okay for the content owners to share the cost of delivering this content over the broadband networks, the last mile networks?
Well, you know, content folks and the consumers already pay. I mean, they're already paying. You know, they're paying to get access to, you know, to the bandwidth. The question is, do you think they ought to be charged twice? And I think what's interesting is, you kind of get the sense that the big network operators are saying, look, we built the network. You know, we built the network. We own the network. Everybody's basically got to go along with what we're saying. What I'm saying is, no, the consumer built the network. Subscribers built the network. They paid for the network. And that's what this is all about. What we're talking about here, when you really kind of boil it down, is who's going to make the choices about the future of the Internet? Is it going to be the network operators who are going to say, we paid for those big old fat pipes, we get to make the choices, or is it going to be the consumer?
Wow, wow, wow.
Is this a zero-sum game? I mean, can you allow people to pay for better service without discriminating against those who don't pay?
Well, I mean, sure. There are a variety of longer-term kinds of approaches on that point. Clearly, I think everybody would be supportive of the principle that we need more bandwidth. But to me, with respect to the choices and the markets of the future, I want to have consumers be in a position to make those choices, and not the network, you know, network operators. It's a really kind of stark line in the sand philosophical difference here.
But if you're going to allow people to pay for higher speeds, what is it that you're not going to allow?
I'm not going to allow discriminatory treatment. I'm not going to allow, you know, two people. I mean, in other words, let's say I used the one at the hearing. I'm not going to allow a network operator to say that a person who tries to buy online for, you know, J.Crew only has to wait, you know, 5 minutes, and the network operator can make the Banana Republic purchaser wait 35 minutes without telling anybody. That's the kind of thing that isn't going to be allowed under my legislation.
Because the network owner has a financial relationship with J.Crew?
No, because we're changing the nature of the Internet. Right now, everybody gets treated equally. It's like phone service. They just put it on through. Everything goes right on through the system, and people get equal treatment. Now, maybe they do have financial arrangements with people, but let's not assume anything quite like that. Let's just, you know, talk about the nature of the system today. When when J.Crew and Banana Republic patrons make their calls, they think they're going to get equal treatment, and they have been told prior to any of this, oh, one of you is going to have to wait, which is why I feel so strongly about the transparency provisions. And I can tell that some folks in the news media are going to think that this transparency issue is just kind of boring and just sort of a kind of throwaway addition to the bill. It's not. It's something I feel very deeply about. If you look at my record with respect to technology, I'm one who thinks government should be fairly careful in this area. I don't like the idea of just trying to hammer the future industries and applications from Washington D.C. And you see that in my work on internet taxes, Y2K, and digital signatures, and a host of other issues. But I do think there's a role for government here. And the heart of that role should be to prevent discrimination.
Senator, just one more question from Light Reading. The telecom lobby, their message on this is pretty simple. They're saying there's really no problem. Nothing has really happened, if we don't count Madison River, that is. And they're saying and if something does happen, that the FCC will have the ability to act under Title I of current telecom law. How are you going to counter that message?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell people that what the telecommunications industry is looking at is a pay-to-play approach in terms of internet service. We do have on the record what Verizon has said, and if the telecommunications industry is not interested in being in the discrimination business, they will have no problem with this legislation. In other words, this legislation does nothing to impede, you know, people who who want to subscribe to the principles that, that govern the net today.
Senator, could you, on the transparency issue, you had said that you didn't want them getting quick through J. Crew quicker without telling anybody, but if the network provider had an arrangement with J. Crew and they made it public, that would be all right?
Yeah, I mean, we do say that consumers can purchase a variety of services like higher speeds for more money. So I think we have shown some openness to that. But if it's equal content, it gets equal treatment. And I think that's almost a good one to quit on, folks.
We're sort of recycling.
And we'll be happy to talk to you some more as this thing goes, okay?
Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.